Blog Talk Radio.
And here comes that damn music.
Oh, God.
John, you need to cut the music off. Come on. You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, give it. Just pull him apart.
Okay, thank you, creepy entrance music that we've been trying to exercise since Halloween. Nevertheless, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. In the event you're following us for the first time tonight, we go through this every damn week. And like I said, it'll finally get fixed the week before Halloween when it's most appropriate. But appreciate you joining us, Pop Culture Stars. Today's star date is 5/24/23. And I hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am doing well. I am your host, Dave Atwell, out here coastal North Carolina where the men are men and the sheep are nervous. Very pleasant night. How's pleasant for a word? Pleasant is like the word vibrant. It's one of those words that you don't use often, but when you do, you try to kind of shoehorn it in there so the guys don't laugh at you. But it's kind of cool. Don't have much of a wind, not cold, but it's chilly enough to run the bugs off. So I want to thank Al Gore for helping us out with this weather. It's pretty damn fantastic. So got a very special guest tonight returning to us from before. So what I'm going to do is kick it around the room real quick and do the introductions and everything while I light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. So, kicking it off first thing, from the fine state of Arkansas, across the way, over yonder, over the mountain and through the woods, returning to us, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, other than fighting allergies and getting my dog home after her had a little episode yesterday of getting hit, I mean, she's okay. She's walking a little bit better, but she's got a very small hip fracture on her right side of her hip, and possibly is going to have to end up having surgery on Friday. So, and then my Facebook and Instagram account got hacked over the weekend. So, the last few days have been, like, really crazy, you know, but I'm glad to be back. And Miss Selma is curled up on a blanket on the floor here in my computer room with me, just kind of chilling out with me tonight. So
good. Make sure she's as comfortable as possible, because you know I get emotional about doggies. So
oh yes, well I've got her on a big fluffy soft blanket for her to lay on. So but she's walking better than she was yesterday. She still can't put a lot of weight on that right rear paw, but hopefully we'll get that taken care of Friday and she'll be back to her normal playful self in a few weeks.
Yeah, hopefully so. You definitely got some good thoughts heading your way from the Pop Culture Stars crowd, because yeah, man, you know, if it happens to you or family or you know, kids or whatever, it's like, okay, rub some dirt on it. But happens to your dog, everything stops. Doggies are important.
Yep.
So, yeah.
For sure.
And give her an extra treat on behalf of us, too, because treats
are
very
important. I will most definitely do that.
Got to fatten them up. That's right. Good to have you on, Granny Hulkster. And we're going to kick
good
it
to
the east. Let's see. I'm doing a directional thing. Yeah, east from you. Need to carry a compass to the show. Just make sure I'm talking straight. To the potentially invading state of Indiana and the capital thereof, the outlying regions of Indianapolis, my anchor man and good brother, Todd. What shaketh?
Well, I'm doing outstanding, supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And enjoying what is, for the first time in a while, a number of days above 70 degrees. I think summer might be finally rearing its head. Managed to go 2 weeks without scraping frost off the vehicle. So, yeah, we might be there. Just saying.
Yeah, might be there.
We might be there.
And knock on wood, we haven't had the humidity. Knock on wood, like I said, now when it goes to hell tomorrow, don't blame me. But luckily the humidity has been kind of taking a little bit of a break around here too. So that's very, very welcomed. So before I introduce our guest tonight, you know, we do this every year, so I'll do it at the front of the show since we got a busy schedule tonight. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and, you know, Todd and I hold this close to our hearts, and we do like a little PSA every year on the show. So I'll kick this in at the very beginning. Just remember that Memorial Day is a day of honor and a day of remembrance. And if you want to shoot off fireworks, that's your prerogative. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. But just bear in mind that Memorial Day is not designed for drunkenness, fireworks, and other tomfoolery, if you will. It is a day to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice so we can be the little assholes that we are here in this country. So, again, for those of all given it the ultimate duty, tip of the hat, and much prayers. And as I do every Memorial weekend, I will watch Saving Private Ryan. Because if you can make it through the first 20 minutes of that movie and understand a lot of those young men that day weren't even legal drinking age. And, So for all of us that are out there long in the tooth, you know what I mean? It means a lot to know that these young men never got their lives on track and never got to do what I'm doing right now. But because of their sacrifice, I'm able to be me. So, Again, if you want to shoot off fireworks, knock yourself out, just do me a solid and try to be cool this weekend. Enough said. Todd, did you want to add to that? You know how we do this PSA every year.
Yeah, I get it's kind of the summer kickoff, and that gets That is a bit of the social convention, if you will. Let me take it a little bit different sideways. It's not about the veteran today. Guy walking around in uniform right now. It's about those that are no longer walking around doing stuff, because they paid their dues. And I'm fortunate enough, I still get to do things in and around the Marine Corps. Got to fall back on the old non-commissioned officer habits, learning functions today. I mean, the lieutenant colonel comes and says, hey, we got the three-star general, need somebody to be able to do the standby that the whole auditorium can hear. Gotcha, sir. Sit there and you do that. And briefs being covered and sitting there and doing it. You know, everybody that you're sitting there doing it and supporting it for, there's a whole new generation out there in an all-volunteer force. And those folks are out there doing what so many never were willing to do. You hear the I almost, yeah, whatever with your almost. I'm allowed to be biased. I did. But these folks are out there doing it. There's many, many veteran cemeteries that are very, very full. Go do if you've never done something like this, it might be worth doing. Go to an old Civil War works. Go to, and walk, do the battlefield walk, do one of those battlefield studies, as they say, kind of walk through, and there's places you can feel that stuff. Go to one of those veteran cemeteries. And if you haven't done it, do that walkthrough and look at the total number of years for the ages on many of those stones that populate that cemetery. A lot of very, very young folks paid the price. Not all of them got to do their 20 years and step out and spend many more years alive. Again, a lot of them paid up front. So just remember that particular part of Monday is that. Try to keep that in mind again as a social convention of the kickoff of the summer season gets going. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I kind of blame the commercialism, kind of like we have. We've kind of left Easter in the dust commercially, and Christmas has become just a total commercialized fiasco now. And I feel like Memorial Day kind of became, like you said, the launching point for the summer. So when it comes down to retail and whatnot, you know, a little disingenuous, but it's the way things go, and good time to buy a mattress. What is it, George Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, and Labor Day is when you want to buy a mattress. I don't get it, but nevertheless, is what it is. Matter of fact, down there in Wilmington, and Mark, I'm fixing to introduce your brother, hang tight, but down there towards your way in Wilmington, there was a gym that was actually having a $9.11 sign-up day on 9/11. And I saw that, and I was like, you have got to be shitting me. So it's that kind of stuff right there that kind of induces our PSAs every year. So appreciate the patience. And, Todd, I appreciate that. Well said. Very well said. So, we're going to kick it. We're going to get back on the map, kick it down south of me, down the Wilmington area there. And we're bringing back our good bud from before. And let me start the list. Should I say promoter, wrestler, actor, singer. I'm pretty sure you're decent at washing a dish and mowing the yard, too, along the way. But I don't know how many more things we could tack on your resume, Mark. But anyhow, welcome aboard, brother. Mean Mark Ash is back with us again today. Going to promote the upcoming con that I'm looking forward to being at. So, Mark, talk to me, brother. How you doing?
All right. How about you guys? And to add on to the Memorial Day and the holiday topic, you know, I mean, I think back to, you know, my grandfather, for starters, fought in World War II, walked on Iwo Jima 2 days after they dropped the bomb. So look at how many things would have been changed had he not made it home. You know, then, you know, I wouldn't have parents, I wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be on here having this conversation tonight. You know what I mean? So it's
exactly,
you know, people, you know, you need to stop, and people need to stop and think, you know, exactly what Memorial Day is. and, you know, and how commercialized, like you were saying, how commercialized the holidays are, like Valentine's Day. I mean, do you not tell your spouse or significant other that you love them any other time of year? I mean, that's the way they advertise it, you know. I mean,
yeah, you should be doing that quite often instead of only one day in February, right?
Exactly.
Oh, please. She's got a birthday and an anniversary, too. Oh, my God. Three times a year. What do you want?
Yeah. Christ almighty.
Yeah, my wife knows how we are. So what we did was we had our wedding the day after my birthday, so I would have no excuse for forgetting anniversaries.
Oh, nice. Well played.
Dude, you don't know. You don't know. I have still struggled with the day after 30 plus years of it, mostly because it butts right up against my original active duty date. So I know it's there. I know the year, that kind of thing. But I have a window of 3 days. I'm like, Yuki, it's actually either this date or this date. I don't think it's because the other two are going to be my active duty stuff. And, it, you know, as I get a little older, they all start to blur. But sure, true story, I just asked last week. And again, 30 plus years. Just, yeah, whatever.
Absolutely.
Well, she admitted I keep it on the calendar so I don't forget.
Yeah, you got to use
smart woman. Smart woman.
Yeah. Just so you know. Yeah, we're actually going to celebrate 25 years of marriage this November. I don't know how the hell we did it. It's all we can do to stay together 25 minutes sometimes. Good God. But there we are. But, yeah, Mark, it's great to have you aboard this evening, man. It's always good to have you here. And I had the pleasure of making Mark's acquaintance down in Myrtle Beach and briefly, and then we ended up hooking up at the Morehead City debacle, which is a whole different show topic. talking about those legendary battles, man. Yeah, that Morehead City air quote show will live long in the conversation. But
yeah,
I was able to,
from what I found out about that, Dave, the only advertising that was done other than the Facebook ad that I put together the day before, and I think Karen did one a day or two longer than I did, but other than that, the only advertising that was done was a flyer in the window of the business.
God damn. Well, there's your result. I mean, the bad news was that they had the ice cream shop right next door, and I think every person in Morehead City had an ice cream at that shop that day, and ain't none of them stuck their head in the... They must have known I was there. I was running them off. I was like...
Well, I think them last two big girls were there to see you.
Those are the ones that John counted twice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we had a follow-up one with you in Wilmington. And I got to be honest with you, man. I thought you guys, or I should say we, because I had an excellent time. Boyd Brothers was there. And, you know, you guys know the boy. We got to get the Boyds on here one night. You want to talk about a fantastic bunch of guys. Get them on here jawing around. They're a trip, but yeah, I thought we had a real good launch. You know what I mean? For you know, a one-day show that was, you know, I thought things were excellent. So if you would, Mark,
here's what
take the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like I said, that was a pilot for Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the first one you were at was kind of a pilot because we wanted, you know, to test the waters in Wilmington, and you know, because GeekCon does run here as well, which, you know, I've got nothing negative to say about them, or, you know, I've met the guy that runs it and everything, and, you know, we got get along. But I was amazed because I just went to GeekCon, you know, as a fan. You know, I took my family, I didn't, you know, try to get on it or anything, but I was amazed. Even that small pilot one we did, we had more celebrity guests than they did.
Really?
Yeah, they had Karen, they had John Wesley Shipp, the guy that played, I can't think of his name at the moment, the guy that played Superman in Smallville, and then they had one other actor, which I didn't know his name from anything. I mean, I'm sure he's played in a lot of stuff, I just didn't know who he was. But that was it, four guests, and the rest of it, it was basically just a vendor pop-up shop with a cosplay contest. And
wow.
So, yeah, I mean, good turnout. I mean, they did well. And so the show we're coming back with this time, you know, Port City Comic Con, we have over 20 celebrity guests on this one. So as far as I know from anything I've been to, this is going to be the largest one ever in Wilmington.
Nice.
You know, it is Naked and Afraid Heavy again, 60 days in,
okay.
But we do have actors, actresses, comic authors, and all kinds of things going on with it.
Tom Welling was the guy that played Superman in Clarksville, or Smallville.
Okay, yeah, I just couldn't remember his name. I mean, he was a super nice guy. I just couldn't remember his name because I didn't. That was a show that during the time frame I was wrestling more than I was able to watch TV. That was a show I just didn't get to watch much of. So. But for Port City Comic Con, like I said, it's Naked Afraid Heavy, but we've only, as far as Naked Afraid, I don't think we have any. Yeah, we've got one repeat coming back. That's Trish Belinsky. And everybody else is either from this season or recent seasons. Matter of fact, one, Wes Harper, is still currently on the air on the Naked and Afraid series. It's airing Sunday nights right now, the last one standing. And we talk about comic authors. We got, you know, Wilson Lee with CNS Comics, Bracy Jones with Indomitable Comics. Now, with the Naked and Afraid, here's where this particular one ties into the comic world. Melissa Lee Ellen is the author of Killer Crimson, the comic Killer Crimson.
No kidding.
Yes, and she usually comes in the Crimson. From what she's told me, I think this is a plan because she normally does the cons dressed as the Killer Crimson character. She promotes that a little more than she does the Naked and Afraid on the con circuit.
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's your work, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and on the 60 days in, you know, season 8 starts the week after our Comic-Con. So, you know, I've got three people coming from season 7. I think you met Carlos last time. He's the only repeat coming.
Yeah, great guy, dude.
He's the only repeat coming from 60 days in, you know, and he was, you know, real adamant he wanted to come back, and because he's fighting. He's now moved into boxing. He's got a celebrity boxing fight on June 17th in Atlantic City. Then at the end of July, he's got his first professional bout in Tampa, Florida. But
okay.
Also from
he's
that season got. Seven, yeah. Yeah, also from that season, Darius Martin and Rose Harris will be coming. I mean, all three of them from season 7. Now, with us being in a much larger building, we are having a cosplay contest this time, which is being hosted by Cosplayers United out of Wilmington. And then we are going to have Q&A sessions as well this go around. So we've got 15 members of Naked and Afraid, so they're going to take up, you know, two of the Q&A sections because obviously we can't fit them all in the same room at one time. Then you've got myself. Former WWE and ECW wrestler Champagne, And then we do have a couple of the more local guys. His name is Blaze and Jay Smooth. So we're all going to do a wrestling Q&A. And then, of course, the 60 Days In cast is going to do a 60 Days In Q&A as well.
Cool. Yeah, I tell you, you know, the last show, the one thing that really stuck out to me is how everybody was having a good time. I mean, everybody was laughing, cutting up, shaking hands, taking pictures, and those are the ones that kind of stick out to me. Because, I mean, Mark, I know that you've probably, mm-hmm. Granny Todd, I'm sure you guys know the same. Sometimes you go to cons and it's just like vultures sitting behind tables. And
right.
There's not a whole lot of engagement. There's a lot of money passing, but not much engagement. But this con that you threw earlier, it was March, if I recall, everybody was in there cutting up, having a good time. And, man, I mean, just the excitement and the vibe was great. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like on the 10th. I mean, like you said, larger facility. More events and everything. Yeah, I got a feeling mm-hmm. it's going to kick ass. So what kind of time and date stand admissions do we have?
Okay, you know, it's obviously on June the 10th, which is on a Saturday. It's open to the public from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. You know, like I said, we've got, you know, with all the Naked and Afraid and 60 Days In, for most of them, this is actually going to be their first cons. And
oh, really?
That's one of the reasons. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm bringing, I hate to say this because, I mean, I got a feeling I'm going to have, you know, old actor friends get offended by what I'm saying. But, I mean, it's my philosophy on the way I book them is, you know, it's great to see all these old stars from 20 or 30 years ago, but at the same time, I think we draw in a newer crowd when we've got fresh names that are, you know, straight off of TV or straight out of movies that they know. And and I think that's one of the reasons why they're so sociable and interactive is because, A, you know, they're new to the con circuit, you know, and B, they've got something to promote. You know, they want to interact with these people. You know, the cons aren't how they make their living. So they're, you know, much more engaging. You know,
it's a mixed bag with some of the yesteryear cats. I'll just say,
absolutely.
And what's funny is, you got to see it maybe a little differently, because we're not talking the Disney World stand in line, you know, shuffle to get to, just to get through the vendor area, let alone to go see someone. But, man, some of those cats from yesteryear, bump into them and outside where they're not behind the table and not more character driven and a whole different ball game sometimes.
So yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Really,
yeah, it is
much more unique.
Yeah. I mean, it is, because, I mean, if you think about it, these guys come off of reality TV. So, I mean, as far as like the Naked and Afraid and 60 Days In. So, I mean, you're seeing the real them, you know, even on the air, you know, so.
But you bring up a real good point, Mark, that I've never really considered when it comes down to it, is when you're currently doing something, regardless of your age bracket, if you have a current work, be it a TV show or a book or, you know, music or whatever, you do have a different approach towards it versus somebody who is on the backside, if you will, of their career. So when somebody comes up to somebody who has something current, there's a certain degree of energy that goes into the engagement versus somebody who's on the backside of things where they kind of just say, oh, well, oh, you hadn't seen it? Well, 9 billion other people have. Move along. Have a nice day, Pat. You know, yeah,
mm-hmm.
keep kicking rocks there, young man. So, yeah, having, and I know with us, we've experienced a lot of times that sometimes you start building up kind of a local fan base. You know, I know with the Crystal Coast Company, when they were running those, you know, there was a couple, you know, Bill Blair and Dango, to name a few, that came out every year. And you had people that bought tickets to go to the show just to see them, just to kind of, you know, pay them a visit. So, and it's all because they were engaging and were a lot of fun to be around. So, like I said, that crowd you had last time, man, those guys were, they were a trip. They were a good time.
Absolutely. I mean, EJ, unfortunately, his wife's had a recent surgery, but, you know, he said that, you know, he said depending on how she's doing, he may swing by anyway because he lives in Fayetteville. You know, if she's doing well, he said he might just make
cool.
a surprise appearance. It's just, that's something I can't guarantee because I haven't talked to him recently, so I don't know where, you know, he stands, where he's at with that at the moment. But like I said, we've got 15 cast members from Naked and Afraid coming, so we are, you know, we're stacked with Naked and Afraid cast members. And I was trying to get Gary back, I mean, because he's just a nut, and, you know, he's currently on The Last One Standing, too. So I was trying to get Gary back, but he actually, what he does for a living is teaches water survival classes, and he just had,
oh, really?
He said this is a bad time of the year. Yeah, fall and winter, he can do about whatever he wants, you know, but, you know, during the summer, it's a little bit harder for him to, you know, to make them out. So.
Yeah, he was a trip. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I love Gary. Yeah, I love Gary because, I mean, he was going to stay at the house with us this next time. My wife was, it's funny because she was like, yeah, she said, I'm going to lock you in our bedroom. I'm going to lock him in the guest room and I'm sleeping on the couch because she said, we got wetlands behind us. And she said, and y'all two are just crazy. And I see him on the show. It's always about how he can one-up somebody, and you're the same way, she said, so I could just see it now. Yeah, in the middle of the night, y'all go strip off naked, and you're running through that wetland, and to the point that y'all just keep one-upping each other until you, she said, you both are going to die, she said, because the reason is, what whoever did what and died, the other one's going to say, well, hell, I could have survived that. You know, it's quiet.
That's what happened with Carlos at the show. We were talking about medical, you know, the whole injury report, and for some of us, the injury report is a lot more extensive than others. And we talked about stabbings, which I won't get into my past, but nevertheless, we started comparing the sensation of a random blade going in us. And Carlos, that's when he told me, he goes, yeah, he said, I've been stabbed 13 times. And I says, Jesus, dude, I says, you're walking pincushion. And he goes, no, it was all at once. I said, do what? And next thing you know, he's showing me, oh, I mean, this poor guy, good God. He looked like he'd been
his own brother.
Like
his own brother was involved in stabbing him.
That's crazy,
it was,
man.
He was a former Latin King member. And, you know, you know how the gangs are blood in and blood out. And, you know, when he was wanting to get out of that lifestyle, you know, make a positive change in his life, you know, they attempted to kill him. And a matter of fact, he was in tears when I booked him over the phone for that Comic-Con because the date of the Comic-Con was actually the, you know, he was stabbed in 2016, so that was the 7th year anniversary on the exact same date. And the reason he started crying was he said usually on that day I'm either very depressed or very agitated. He said, but you're now giving me something positive and fun to look forward to for that day. You know,
no kidding. He's a good young man. I was impressed. And you know, again, being long in the tooth, man, you see that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of the young folk these days aren't quite up to snuff. And I'm sure folks said the same thing about me when I was that age. But, But he's a very impressive young man when you speak to him.
You can tell
he's dialed in and he's trying to head in the right direction, and wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, and that's another reason why he was interested, you know, in starting to get involved in the Comic-Con circuit, you know, because he likes to do youth outreach, you know, and, you know, to try to keep kids, you know, from following, you know, that type of lifestyle, you know, and ending up, you know, either in it for life, you know, or dead or strung out on drugs, you know, everything it can lead you to.
And the whole premise of that 60 Days In show, my son Rob watches that. And I didn't even know the show existed. I don't get out much. He's watching it, and I says, "What in the hell are you watching?" And he started explaining to me the premise behind the show. And, I mean, why anybody who is a law-abiding citizen would volunteer to go into a jail to report back to a warden or the admin of the jail and let them know what's going on in there, what's good, what's bad, what's ugly. And because, and like I was telling Carlos, I said, there's a whole different, going on a reality show is one thing. Like you go on Survivor, you go on there and you got to deal with, you know, the people talking smack about you and all that kind of stuff online. Yak, yak, yak. It all comes with the thing. But 60 Days In, you're in there with real criminals, and when they find out that you were in cahoots with the warden, you know, they know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what you look like, and eventually these people are going to get out. And
I worked as a correctional officer. I mean, right after I stopped wrestling, and I worked as a correctional officer for 6 years. As a matter of fact, this season was being shot in a prison I've been into several. Was shot in a prison I've been into several times. It starts airing on June 15th, and it's at the Pitt County Correctional Facility. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, let's say I was to somehow end up on that show. I couldn't have done Pitt County because, I mean, working in the prison system around here, you know, and then bail bonding, bounty hunting, you know, as well, it's like too many people would recognize me, you know, from something. And, you know, it would be obvious I was the plant, you know. You know, it's one of those things, you know, people just went on that show, you know, you got to be careful about where they're placing you too, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's a great idea for a show. Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of these wardens don't take the, don't take all the hard work these folks are doing seriously though.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it. It was after I discovered the show, I went through On Demand, and I've watched every season. And you know, the season that Carlos, you know, and Rose and, you know, Darius, the people that are coming to the convention are on, I mean, that sheriff, I agree with, I mean, as much as I don't like Lucky Chucky, me and him and Carlos all got some personal issues I won't get into, but it's but he nailed it. I don't know. It might have been Carlos that said it. I'm not sure. I had to go back and watch the after talk part. But it was either Carlos or Chucky. But one of them, you know, they flat out told the sheriff, he said, "You're just in this to be on TV." Because he had, from what I understand, he has implemented no changes whatsoever from the things that any of them discovered. He just basically dismissed anything they told him or gave him, you know, You saw they threatened Carlos with charges over the drugs he got off another inmate and turned in. I mean, why would you be threatened with charges for doing the job they put you in there to do?
That made
no sense to me whatsoever because, I mean, working in the prison system, it's like putting plants in is not quite as uncommon as, you know, people think. It's just like, if they were going to plant me, they'd have sent me way out to the west side of the state where the inmates don't know me. And it, that type of thing, you know. But of course, we didn't, when they did stuff like that, because, you know, with the emergency response team members, we weren't in there for 60 days. We were only there. That only put us in for like a week or something at a time just to try to, you know, infiltrate, because, you know, I mean, so I get where the premise of the show came from. It truly is done. And, you know, of course, I'm not calling the show fake or anything else because I've not been on it, you know, I mean, no way, shape, or form. Because Naked and Afraid, I mean, that's, you know, pretty 100% legit from, you know, everything I'm being told. So, I mean, they do, so, you know, now don't get me wrong, they will say they do some creative editing, so there's things you don't see, and so it kind of influences you to think this way about that person or this, but, you know, as far as the survival challenge itself, it's legit, you know. So.
Yeah, because it's more genuinely done than Survivor is. Of course, Survivor kind of, the first couple years or so, a couple seasons, better term for it, was pretty legit. I mean, you saw people dropping weight, and they were having light fires to keep the wildlife out and everything else. But then, I think it was right around season 6 or 8, somewhere in that ballpark, where the stronger, more Survivor-type people were the first ones to get going. And it was all about who was the biggest slouch that I could carry to the final three. And before you know it, you found the ones that didn't do shit during the Survivor challenges and the ones that didn't gather firewood or fish. Those were the ones that were going to the final three. And what sucks about that fact is even if they don't win, they still get paid a fair amount of money for coming in the top three. And, you know, when you see them on there and they gain weight living in the woods for 45 days, there's something to miss. So,
absolutely.
That ain't no joke. Those guys are on a different level with that. So, but another thing go ahead, Mark, you got it, bud.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, another thing about the, you know, the Naked Afraid, and then we'll get back to 60 Days In, is like, you know, I have seen, you know, actors that went on the challenge, but, I mean, but if you look back at their history, you know, EJ was an actor prior to doing Naked and Afraid. Really, you know, he's 100% the real deal. You know, he just, when he got out of the military, he did some acting before Naked and Afraid. Blount Gherkin, he's another one. He's an actor, you know, primarily, but he's former Russian military and has the survival skills. So, you know, I believe when I watch his show, it's 100% legit because, I mean, the first time he was out, he tapped. You know, he's been on twice since and made it through. So,
yeah, when guys like that are saying, hey, this is legit, you know something's up. It's not some... you know, little assistant that's out there. It's somebody who's lived that kind of profession. But no, what I was going to say real quick about the 60 Days In, the other thing I found interesting was the disparity between the men's and the women's prison units. The women are like hanging wallpaper and got, you know, pictures of their kids and little crayon drawings from their kids hanging up. And the men's ward or men's unit or whatever they call it, they're sleeping on the floor because they don't have enough beds. And it's like, holy shit. So in the event that I ever have to full time, I'm going to say it right here and now, I'm going to identify as a female.
Yeah, exactly. No, I wouldn't recommend that because the reason I say that is having worked in the North Carolina prison system. The women's prisons is where all the bad stuff really takes place, more so than the men's,
really?
Truthfully. But yes, sir.
Oh, so the ladies get eyes out then.
No. When they get into a fight, it's never ending. Because, I mean, think about, you know, men, especially when we were kids and everything, we'd get in a fight, somebody had a bloody nose or a busted lip, the fight was over, and we were friends again by the end of the day. But no, these women, that fight never ends. You know? So it's like, you know, whatever happens that day, you know, whoever was on the losing end of the sticks can plan out their next move, you know.
Yeah, hell with the wallpaper. I'll sleep on the floor. It's all good. I don't need to be sleeping with both eyes open. That's the insert.
Exactly.
So, Mark, Mark, real quick, like, before we get to tight on time, man, you're singing.
Oh, absolutely. Dude. I mean, right now I've got two songs getting airplay in multiple countries. I mean, on actual radio stations. I mean, they're covers. One, John Ellison originally did it in the 60s, but it was made famous by Grand Funk Railroad in the 70s, Some Kind of Wonderful. And that's the way, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, years ago in the wrestling business, I did a CD, something to sell off our souvenir gimmick table, whatever you want to call it. And, my wife and a couple other friends of mine, we all went to Atlantic City for the weekend, and we were at the Tropicana, and they had a karaoke bar, and, you know, I sang that song. You know, of course, we sang, you know, between all of us, we sang multiple songs, but I sang that song, and they got a good video of it, and I was like, hey, I like that. And then I just said, hey, I'm a good album. I'm going to do it. You know, and so now, I mean, now I've got enough songs to release a second one out, which the second song that's getting all the airplay is Can't Get Enough, originally done by Bad Company, obviously. But those are the two ones that are, you know, and I've actually had some magazine articles out of them. If you've seen my Facebook page, I've posted the links to them and, you know, that type of stuff. So I got the... Not that I'm trying to be a full time musician. I was more or less just doing that to have fun with it. You know, but it's, you know, actually grown into a little bit of an income stream. So.
Yeah, because
I'm guessing available for bar mitzvahs and such.
Hey, if anybody's paying me, I'll sing anywhere or act anywhere or wrestle anywhere.
The point is, if you're going to do something like that, and you were mentioning it was kind of left-handed thing to segue into, if somebody wanted to book you, how do they do with that? And what type of things do you usually get booked for? I just didn't want to go with the ye old obvious.
Oh, I got you. Right now, I am just so tied up with movie and television roles. I mean, I've got, you know, some of the stuff I can discuss, and then there's some stuff that, you know, I can't do to the non-disclosure agreements on them.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
But, I've got a couple things I'm talking with major networks about, which, you know, obviously I've got non-disclosures on those because they don't – you know, but independent movie makers don't put as much, you know, restriction on you because they want their stuff promoted.
Right.
Madison Warren Combs, who you may know because she's been in quite a few of Tyler Perry's movies, as has Dominic Santana. And I didn't realize this, so I was looking over our internet database. I actually made a movie with him back in 2006, and I don't even think we met because we just probably wouldn't have any scenes together. But he was the director of and produced the movie called The Madness, which is a horror movie, a zombie apocalypse type movie, you know, in a small town. Now I don't know, we're supposed to be having the premiere of it here, I think within the next couple months, based on the time frame he told me last time I was able to speak to him. But he did also tell me that there will be a sequel to it as well. That one's called The Madness. And like I said, Madison Warren Combs, and I believe Abrielle Sincotti, who also played in that movie, one of the lead roles in that movie. I think she's coming to the con with Madison. They were going to share a table, obviously. I'm working on two pro wrestling films, believe it or not. One of which we're going to shoot a couple scenes before the doors open to the public at the Comic-Con. We're going to shoot them, you know, in the classroom where the Q&As will be held. So, you know, the vendors and everything is set up without, you know, upsetting anything. But, yeah, we're going to shoot a few shots there. And then the finale of that will take place on an actual wrestling event. I've got a couple wrestling promoters interested in us doing it on their event, but then another wrestler and I are in the works to put on a benefit show together for Stro. I don't know if you've been updated on how he's doing.
Yeah, that's tough situation right there, man. Yeah, hopefully things will improve. Yeah. It's scary stuff. And I guess the moral of that story is don't be like me and not go to the doctor, because you never can tell when something's not right and it's not being diagnosed. And sometimes, you know, my brother, he's 4 years younger than I am, and he always tells me, he says that it's better to take a couple trips to the doctor in your car than it is to take a long one in an ambulance. And
I'm about to go spend a week in Johns Hopkins. You know, I've got some issues going on, you know, myself, which is, you know, like I said, myself and Vinny Vane is the other wrestler that, you know, we're trying to put this benefit show together for. You know, I mean, I've already made it clear to him, I'm not wrestling. I've got too much metal in my neck, back. I've had foot reconstruction. I think we talked about, you know, that the last time I was on. And the spinal surgery was necessary because I had a lot of stenosis that was pressing on the spinal cord. But then as we came out of that, you know, all the symptoms that I was having, which led to that, didn't go away. And they found out I've got a nerve disorder called dysautonomia. And it's something that there's only like a few clinics in the country treat, because, I mean, my doctors here in Wilmington will even tell me, we don't know how to treat you. You know, that's why I get referred, you know, so I got a referral to Johns Hopkins, and I got a referral to Vanderbilt in Nashville, and, you know, and Johns Hopkins came through quicker. So that's where I'm headed.
Good,
which has prompted a relocation for me. Now, you know, that clinic's in West Virginia. I'm not leaving the state, but I'm moving closer to the Raleigh area. You know, because I still have some family here, but, you know, all my regular trips are going to have to go to Reston. So I kind of found like a midway point and moved. So, and that's where I'm going to be living now. So, I'm starting. Yeah. We're moving next month. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, man, hopefully that'll come around. You don't realize what you put your body through. And that's one of my biggest fears, and I joke about it all the time, is that I'll go in there feeling like $1 million and I'll walk out feeling like 38 cents. You know, you feel good, and just because you feel good doesn't mean you are good. And it can be the slightest of things, you know what I mean? And
right.
You know, I think that's what happened with Stro, and hopefully things will come about for him, because he's good people. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had enough misery when it comes down to losing friends. Don't need to have them any worse. I need to have my friends doing better than me is what I need. So,
absolutely.
That would be good if you guys do a benefit for him. As a matter of fact, have you talked to the Amazing Velvet at all? You know Velvet, don't you?
I do, but I have not spoken to him in probably about a year now. I mean, don't get me wrong, me and him will like each other's Facebook posts and stuff like that. We just haven't directly spoken, you know.
Right, because they put on a hell of a benefit for Fuego in Merle's Inlet when Barbara passed, and that was a great show. We had an absolute blast that night. So, you know, in the event you want the connection, let me know, and I'll let him know, and maybe perhaps you guys can, because, you know, Myrtle Beach is just a stone throw from Wilmington as it is. So, but they threw a hell of a show.
So Vinny and I are looking at doing like Lewisburg, North Carolina, which is a pretty hotbed. Nobody's run it in a couple of years. So we're thinking we can, you know, get a hot crowd there, you know, quick, you know, right off the bat. So that's what we're looking at there. Because when you get down to South Carolina, you're dealing with an athletic commission that charges you through the rear end too. So it's like,
really,
you know, me and Vinny and everybody else. I mean, even though I'm not going to wrestle, I would just be doing the commentary job. I still have to be licensed under the state.
You know? No kidding. It's
yes,
the little
sir.
Thing.
If you're a promoter, yeah, I mean, if you're involved with the show, you've got to have a license one way or the other. It's not just matter of fact, Virginia's athletic commission is a whole lot worse than South Carolina's. I mean, the first sight of blood, they want to shut the show completely down. And
really?
One night I was wrestling Julio Sanchez, if you remember him from, like, ECW,
right,
in Alexandria, Virginia, and there was a commissioner in the building. Well, I mean, during the match, his knee hit me in the nose, and my nose started bleeding. And, you know, they were all over the promoter in the back. You know, fortunately, he's smart that, hey, the dude got hit in the nose. This is legit blood. This ain't a blade job. And but he was able to hold the commissioner down, you know, so we ended our match and I came back and I could show him that, no, I did not cut myself, you know. So.
Wow.
But man, we've seen too that blood thing kind of, and we get why they do that. But
mm-hmm.
man, you know as well as I do, there's certain guys, they might get a bloody nose from sneezing. They can be tougher than nails
absolutely.
The whole rest of their damn body and everything else. But
mm-hmm.
son of a gun, boy, that nose.
I mean, yeah.
Cause
I had a deviated.
They get a bloody nose.
I can account to that because I had a deviated septum before I broke my nose kind of early in the wrestling career. And, you know, and the way that was, you constantly keep your nose dry. And like you're saying, the slightest little thing will make blood start gushing out your nose, even though you've not done any damage to yourself. It's just where the inside of your nose is so raw and open. And, the commissioner was fine when he saw that, hey, this was a legit injury. You know, we weren't doing it with a blade. You know, he was fine and everything went on. But it's just when he saw blood, the first thing he's thinking, they're violating the rules. Well, you know, we're not. We weren't. I got neat in the nose. It hurt, too, by the way. You know, so, I mean, it's.
Yeah, those guys are always ready because it's money. It's revenue. It's how.
Mm-hmm.
So they can levy.
Well,
lines,
not only that, they
can...
know some of that, that. Look, let's face it. Some of those guys know how to do that and get blood, and they're pros at it. But other guys, they're damned. Look, if you don't know what you're doing, bad things can happen. And
exactly.
As soon as you
got
blood moving, there are other. It's hazmat. Let's face it. It's hazmat.
Yeah, I get it, you know, because trust me, when we did the, you know, we were doing the blading type stuff. I mean, we'd make it look like it was barbed wire that was doing it. I mean, we'd make it look like anything else other than what way we were truly doing it. And, you know, it was amazing how a lot of people couldn't see it, you know. But, you know,
yeah,
fortunately,
added,
well, I mean, AEW's brought it back, but,
stuff.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I like some color
WWE
in my
banned
red,
it, but then.
Yeah, I also understand what Todd was alluding to when you talk about hepatitis and all
mm-hmm.
AIDS and all these other nifty things.
Yep.
The last thing you need
that's
is,
when,
yeah,
and that's
that
when you know WWE
need.
Banned it. You know, you still saw it on the indie some, but you know now AEW has decided to just bring it back on the mainstream, and I'm just like, that's not a good idea because now all the indies are going to start copying you again, and if anybody's got something, it's going to start spreading around again. You know, because look at guys like you know superstar Billy Graham. I mean, he had liver transplant and all that from hepatitis he got from blading so much. Abdullah the Butcher, you know, and then he gave it to somebody else who sued him over it. And I mean, that's why that stuff was cut out, you know.
I
hear what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and chair shots. That was the other one that I used to always marvel at because, you know, when you're going through tables and that kind of jazz, let's face it, there
mm-hmm.
are some tables. And Todd, you know, you work with me long enough to know those damn Lifetime tables we used to sell at the club, you do not want to be powerbombed to one of them because those things survive nuclear wars. But if you go find those old cork top ones, the ones that are made out of particle board, going through one of those, you feel it going through, but it has a breakaway to it to a certain extent. But when you start looking at those chair shots, I don't give a damn
that's
if you
legit.
Hit it with the feet. Yeah, that is some real shit right there. And the thing is,
Gore, that can hit you know, head traumas and concussions and stuff could cause
right.
the nerve disorder I've got. So I look back and think about all the chair shots I took, and then you got to think about how many concussions did I sustain in matches that I didn't know about.
Because
you know, prior to the Chris Benoit thing. You know, and, which is really what got football involved, you know, and the concussion protocols and all that. I mean, back then we thought a concussion was a headache and you were fine the next day, just going about your business. You know, we didn't know any better at the time. Yeah,
because, I mean, it was just entertainment. It was just part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And like I said, even if you know it's coming, because we used to horse around at work all the time and, you know, smack one another and all that kind of jazz. We'd grab random stuff and crack it on. Because one of the things we used to do at work, working in a grocery store, is we used to put an egg in the freezer. The old frozen egg.
Oh, wow.
And there was two ways of doing it. You either take an egg and stab it with a pin and shake the yolk out of it. And you shake the yolk out of it and you walk up to somebody with an egg that has nothing in it now because you shook the egg out, you know, shook all the yolk and spoons
mm-hmm.
out of it, and then you walk up to somebody and crack them upside the jaw with it or on their shirt or something of that effect, and all you do is just crunch the shell, and everybody gets, oh, man, you got me that well, you know. Well, then it kind of deviated into this frozen egg trick, and somebody would throw a, you know, put an egg in the freezer, and we'd be in the back room, and somebody would lob, not, you know, try to Nolan Ryan a damn frozen egg at you, but they would lob a frozen egg at you. You get hit with a frozen egg, it's the same thing as getting hit with a golf ball, and it'll drop you right to your knees.
No doubt.
Christ knows what a chair shot being swung by a 280-pound professional athlete can do to your nugget. Even if you're expecting it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what I tell people that come to us and say, wrestling's fake. And I'm like, really? But yet you were sitting in the 10th row and heard me hit the dude. How fake was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it depends on the fake. Is that, might there be, what do you call it? There's the people in the ring might have the spoiler alert for the end result. But man, that don't change what the hell's going on in between.
Yeah,
no,
you know, I'm doing it wrong. You know, your slams and your pile drivers. Yes, we've got a safe way to do it because we're not legitimately trying to hurt somebody. But at the same time, I mean, there's some stuff that we've just got to lay it in there, or nobody's ever going to. I mean, granted, all right, you know, Vince let the cat out the bag and all that, but we're still taught that okay, they know it's a show, but still, for whatever. You know, the 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is you're in the ring, your job is to still make them believe, you know?
Right. Yeah, still got to look believable. Yeah, I took a lick with a damn milk crate back in 97 as a joke, and a buddy of mine hit me with the broadside. We all know the corners of a milk crate, you know, we're going to wear your ass out. But he hit me with the broadside of a milk crate, and, folks, it hurt. It hurt. And I knew it was coming. I knew it was a joke, and Van meant nothing by it. But when he did it, it lit my world up, son. And so God forbid
it'd
be a damn metal chair. Yeah. Hell
of that. I was on a movie shoot. I was on a movie shoot last week. I mean, it's a gang-related movie, and, you know, of course, me and the other gang leader have to fight. And I'm a wrestler, and he wasn't professional, but he was a football player. So we could go rough with each other, and we knew it. But, you know, normally in the movies it's all near misses and everything, and then they'll edit it together for, you know, because it's shot from angle, so it looks like you hit him, and they'll add the sound effect. But, you know, me and him were actually making contact, and they're like, y'all going to hurt each other. And we're like, no, we're fine. You ain't got to worry about editing crap for us. You know, we're fine.
Yeah, this is what we do. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'll tell you what, man. I'm looking forward to this show on the 10th, man. I'm gonna, you know, another gentleman that you've got coming, a gentleman named Dave Sorensen, that I had the privilege, and I won't even use the word pleasure. I will say privilege. I sat next to him and the Sheikster, former wrestler, artist, fantastic gentleman, and nothing but good vibes going out to him, too. That young man is having one hell of a year, too, man. And he is such a genuinely good guy and just got a heart of gold. And, you know, he's just had a rough year. So nothing but good thoughts going his way. But I was sitting a table away from Dave and ended up getting to know him well. And super great guy. I mean, talent. And, you know, it's funny when you meet these guys, a lot of times there's a certain degree of ego that comes with their success and everything. You don't pick up any of that with Sheikster or Dave. And both of those guys were just fantastic to be around. And when I saw that you had signed him up for the show, I was like, hot damn, it'll be good to see him again, because he was just class material, great guy. And got some good stuff, man. And it's always
we definitely got.
Go ahead, Mark. You got it.
I was gonna say we've got, you know, Rob Potsy Potchek coming too, you know, as well. If I don't know if you've met him before or not.
I don't think I have.
I'm trying to think. But I'm trying to think because we've got several comic authors coming. And I was trying to get Andrew Shade. I can't think of the name of his comic right now, but he's known for Naked and Afraid, Amazing Race. A matter of fact, he's on the new CBS show Buddy Games that's just about to start airing. But he's actually a comic author too. I mean, he's it's like, you know, that's Naked Afraid, I just kind of got around because there's so many of them that live local. You know, I mean, you meet a couple of them, and then, you know, then you start talking to them about doing stuff. Then they get all their buddies involved, which is great. You know,
works out.
I mean, because Joe Ortlett from Naked and Afraid, he's one of the legends. He's considered to be one of the legends. You know, he's done, 60-day challenges, as well as the 21s, and he's done frozen challenges and all that. You know, and, I mean, I'll be honest with you, he had cast members contacting me wanting to come to the show. I mean, I had to cut it off eventually. I was just like, I'm going to run out of room with just guests before I start putting vendors in.
Right. Yeah. Hey.
One of the reasons I wanted to
jump back on the show, I think this is a part that needs to be reiterated very often. These cons at the independent level, they tend to be much more family oriented.
Yes.
To include any of the vendors. You know, see, vendors are with families, and I'm bringing a perspective in here. I know Dave's whole family. You often see Dave's household at his table, using that as an example. Dave will tell you that we know the Lessies. That's a family. They're both going to be there. I can't believe how much their kids have grown and stuff. That's like a whole different trauma I'm going through in life. I guess I've known them a while as well. Bill and Val Fripp, that kind of stuff. So you got family people operating, doing some of the stuff, trying to do their routine. And they interact with families real well. There is a family element, a quality family element that is part of this that I want to make sure doesn't get overlooked, because if there's people with a family, well, I'm not sure. Well, look, strictly speaking, I ain't saying bringing doggum infant or toddler in there, although we've seen people come in with an infant. It was in Wilmington as well. Multiple knitted little costumes to cover the diaper in the summer and stuff like that. Had a Spider-Man, had a stinking
Yoda,
and other stuff. So it's a family thing.
Yeah, it is. And as a matter of fact, I don't know how to say his last name, Aaron. He always does Captain Spaulding, you know, when he comes to the cons. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, Dave.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, different cons that, you know, where we've seen, like, adults brushing up against the females and touching them inappropriately and things like that. That's one of those things that, you know, if that happens on my show, just somebody please inform me. And that I would, you know, because they will be removed quick. You know, whether it's the easy way or the hard way, they will be removed. Because, you know, we want to be family friendly completely.
But the top point with those independent shows, it's more engaging because you go to the larger shows. Mm-hmm. I know when you hear the Comic-Con, you immediately start thinking San Diego, Chicago, New York, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the independent ones, you know, you actually get to engage with these people. And it isn't one of those, here's my $200, here's an autograph, move along, kid. You actually get to get in there. And it was kind of funny how when we first, before I started writing the books, we would go to them, and some of the cast members from The Walking Dead would recognize us and would actually say, hey, Dave, what's going on? And me, as a fan of The Walking Dead, I'm going, wow.
The
guy from The Walking Dead we watch remembers my name. And, you know, Todd, for example, Todd would bring homemade cookies. And everybody knew Todd was my bud. So I'd go to the shows and people would ask, hey, man, is Todd coming with the cookies? And I'm like, no, because we're in a different
story.
Let me tell you my funny story about The Walking Dead, though. At the time that started, it was like I was in so many TV shows. The only reason I didn't start watching it is because I was like, I'm following enough of them. I don't need to get caught up in another one. So to this day, I have never watched an episode of The Walking Dead, but from doing Comic-Cons and Horror-Cons, I think I've met every cast member that's on it. And I've never watched an episode of it.
No kidding. And you know what's funny about the Walking Dead cast is that none of them are weenies. Every one of them I've met have just been cool as hell. And, you know, not only are they engaging, but they're appreciative. You know what I mean? They appreciate the fact that, and I always say the same, Todd's been there plenty of times, I always used to say, there's 1 hour a week out of the 168 hours that there are available in a week. There was 1 hour a week that I knew my entire family, my wife, my son, my dogs, you know, we would all at 9 o'clock come together and watch The Walking Dead. So if there was 1 hour a week, I always look forward to was that 1 hour that I would have my entire family with me watching that show. And if it wasn't for those folks, I wouldn't have that. And I appreciate their efforts and everything. And all of them are just cool as hell, down-to-earth people. And, I cherish the fact that I was able to, become good friends. And some of them I actually became very close friends with. And, it's amazing stuff. And when you do these independent shows, as Todd alluded to, they're fans of the fans, and that's something you don't get at the larger show.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I'll throw silly stuff out there. Like, I got tapped to cover Greg Crew's table while he went and did a QA session. And, that was just kind of what I was there for, to help out with the con. And, we still keep in contact, but it was little stuff like, you don't see in his posts and all that, but he's former Navy, so the former military guys talk and blah, 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 blah. It just different level contact.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Much. And cost efficient.
Exactly. The New Hanover County, one of the New Hanover County Library branches here, they actually do Cape Fear Fandom every year, and they do it free to the public. You know, they don't usually bring in, celebrity guests. They just like bring in the vendors and stuff like that. But I came in this year and did it, which, I didn't bring my whole table and all that set up, because what I decided to do was hand out flyers for Archon, and I had all these promotional pictures from the madness that I was given to just give away. So I did, I did free selfies, I'd give an autograph picture of me as a zombie and a Port City Comic Con flyer all at the same time, but
no, that's the way you do it. And you can get away with that at the end of the show, whereas the larger shows, they want their piece.
Yep.
And it makes all the difference in the world. But look, we're getting close. We got about 10 minutes to play. So what I want to do is do a quick go around, because I want to end the show with Mark, because Mark's got the most at stake, because we want him to succeed at the best maximum financial benefit. I'm trying to put it mildly. We want to make sure Mark makes some damn it money at this show, because he can. And the funny thing is that when he makes money, it means he doesn't go home and buys a new boat. It means he gets to throw another show. And
absolutely.
Pretty much.
That is, if you dig the cons, folks, go spend some money, because it helps. So what I want to do is kick it around the room real quick, give each one of us regulars about 2 minutes to yak away, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and I want Mark's big fireworks finish for us here on the show. So, Granny, young lady, didn't mean to ignore you this evening. I know you've been
No, you're fine. You're fine. This was more important. I just happy Memorial Day to everybody, I mean, it's such a time to remember. I had, my father was in the military, my grandfathers were in the military, my brother was in the military. Just remember that those that served our country and fought for our freedom. So God bless them, and God bless the USA. And I don't have a whole lot to say, because I'm going to pass up my time so Mark can have time to talk.
Outstanding. And Granny, we appreciate you joining us, and best wishes to the doggy. I hope she gets better.
She's curled up on the blanket. She's ate some food and drank some water.
Give her a big
hug
from us, man.
I will. I will.
I'm not going to get emotional. Not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about doggies and get emotional.
I know how much you love your doggies, Dave Atwell. So you should have seen. You talk about getting emotional. You should have seen Granny yesterday. I had to call David at work. I'm like, could you come home? I was very emotional yesterday. So yes, I know about being emotional.
I can only imagine. But yeah, keep us posted. And you've got nothing but good thoughts going your way, young lady. And we love you.
I will.
We appreciate
thank you.
You
love you all, too. Good to talk
Todd
to you, Mark.
Yes, ma'am. Good to
talk
to you.
Because I'm under attack again. I've got another Osprey with a spotlight on it flying over. So I'm going to mute out, dude. Go ahead and hit me with your parting shots.
All right. Look, reminder that cons are family-friendly, a good thing event. A heck of a bang for the buck, usually, especially with these independent ones. They're a lot of fun. As I always do, because I mean it, take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. And that's it, business side. Off to the side, if it's going to be June 10th, I'm probably going to need some info about that event, just saying. Travel plans in the future.
Oh, hell. That's right. Ooh. And as Dave wiggles his fingers in manipulative thought, yes, I will let you know. Most certainly. Hot dude, damn. Good point. Todd, appreciate you joining us this evening, brother, as always. Now, real quick for me, first off, big happy birthday coming up Saturday for our fourth doggy. First year birthday for our Pyrenees Violet. She is the happiest dog I have ever seen in my entire life. This dog does not have a bad day. She's brought a lot of love and a lot of happiness to this house. Never thought I'd picture myself with four dogs and the size of the dogs we have, but I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I treated myself to about a 20-minute nap this afternoon before, you know, when I got home from work. And when I laid down, I had Sadie the lab and I had Misty the mastiff laying with me. And when I woke up, I had the hound and the Pyrenees laying with me. And I'm here to tell you, there's no better sleeping than to have four big doggies laying with you. Loved every minute of it. So big happy birthday to her. And on the 29th, Monday, happy birthday to my brother, Dan. And without him, he does all the fact-checking and audit, editing on my writing. I could never have published a novel if it wasn't for him. Everything that he has done for free. And by Christ, one day I will pay him back. By hook or by crook, but for as many families out there don't talk to one another, it's pretty damned amazing that two brothers can come together and put out published work. So nothing but appreciation.
Dave,
love
I got
my
an alibi.
Yeah, right.
And this is going to fit early in the conversation. Quick reminder. This weekend, yes, I actually do know the day because I just filled it in on the passport application. Happy anniversary, Yuki. Thank you for somehow finding a way to tolerate me for these 30-plus years. And,
most
yes, I really do
man.
Know the number. I'm just not giving away secrets.
And we're definitely going to hammer away on that next week, man. I definitely want to say something big about that because Yuki is a fantastic lady, and y'all deserve much time towards that thing. So, yeah, happy anniversary, dude. And just one other thing is, again, as I stand here finishing my cigar and having a good conversation with friends and drinking malt beverages, and I look over at my peach tree that is putting out peaches like you wouldn't imagine, I would not have this had it not been for the sacrifice that I spoke of earlier. So, again, nothing wrong with praying, folks. Doesn't mean you got to be a Bible thumper. Prayer is good. God is good. And whether you think he's listening or not, he's there. So, again, hopefully they're listening to me up there tonight. Thank you for your sacrifice. Enough said. Mark. You got it, Daddy. We're
yes, sir.
Probably about 3 or 4 minutes, man. Give us as much as you can.
You got it. Matter of fact, my walker hound's curled up next to me right now, so I understand the pet
damn
issue. And, Granny, I hope your dog comes through well and heals quickly. And the Comic-Con, I'll get the date and the time and address plugged here real quick. It's Port City Comic-Con in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's at the Ogden YMCA Center, and their street address is 7207 Ogden Business Lane. They are on the north side of Wilmington, so Dave, you won't have to drive quite as far in this time.
Nice.
They'll be on 17. Yeah, they're right off of 17. They're right in that Big Lots area, well, the old Big Lots area, and the Smithfield Chicken area, just a little bit further down from there. So when you first come into town, you're going to be heading right to it. And like I said, we've got, you know, many guests from Naked Afraid, Tara Short, Matt Garland, Joe Ortlip, Mallory Romero, Melissa Lee Ellen, who is also the author of Killer Crimson, Tim Phillips, Anthony Coppedge, Trey Hankey, who was just on one of the last episodes of the regular Naked Afraid season that just ended. And then, of course, we got Carlos, Darius, and Rose from 60 Days In. We got Dave Sorensen, Rich Stonkey, Robbie Potsy Potcheck, also his guests, Bracy Jones of Indomitable Comics, Wilson Lee of CNS Comics, myself, Mean Mark Ash, actor and wrestler, Champagne Wrestler, and then, of course, there are going to be several, you know, more local independent wrestlers there as well. It's going to be a good show. Lots of great vendors. We've actually got hot food vendors, Italian ice vendors, comic vendors, you know, between the Naked and Afraid people and Equipped USA. I mean, we've got knives, swords, that type of stuff as well. We've got people crocheting items. It's not all comics. There's something there for everybody. And then, of course, the big cosplay contest, you know, with Cosplayers United from Wilmington as well. And tickets can be purchased at www.portcitycomiccon.com. Adults are $20. Kids 12 and under, $15.
Outstanding, dude. Yeah, looking forward to it, man. And we're going to keep blowing it up on Facebook over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And get this thing out there, man, because the more you succeed, the more we do. And there's a genuine interest in the success of this getting done. And, I mean, the sky's the limit. And you got the right mindset. You've got the right mojo. So nothing but the best. I'm looking forward to seeing you again in a few weeks.
Absolutely.
And I'll do my usual. I'll get there early. So in the event you need any assistance with setting up and all that kind of happy stuff, I will be there to help you out. So, but dude, I can't appreciate it enough, you coming on this evening. And,
absolutely.
We need to get you back on just to sit here and jaw.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we've got our Father's Day, show coming up here in a couple weeks where we do nothing but dad jokes for an hour and a half. So I think that'll be
right
up your alley. So we're going to try to get hold of Jeff Lessie, who, of course, is the master of all dad jokes. We get him on there every year, and between Todd and myself, we'll get on there and act a fool because there's no holds barred on that Father's Day show, so we need to get you back on for that one. So, but we got a minute, 40 seconds before I bleed into the other show and create a giant boo-boo. Mark. Love you, brother. Appreciate you joining us this evening. Todd, Granny, hope you got a fantastic show tonight. Remember, Port City Comic Con, June 10th, peoples, go on Facebook, the .com. Google that shit because you can Google it. Google's amazing. Check it out, and we will see everybody there on the 10th. But until then, Mark, Todd, Granny, much appreciated. And we will talk to everybody again next week. Same bad time, same. I know, British lady. Here at Pop Culture
Stars.
Hey, God,
everyone.
Talk to you guys soon, all right? Y'all take care.
All right, bud.
And British lady, before I get in trouble, British lady.